Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, get a pen and some paper so you can take notes. And at the end, if you have any questions or any comments about the ministry tonight, we'll be sure to try to get them answered or addressed so that we can all grow together by the Word of God. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. And I'll decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we are wrapping up a calendar year. And I want to make sure that we don't go into the next year with the same disposition. You know, I don't mind us going into the next year with the same revelation, because Jesus builds upon his revelation. He doesn't build on two revelations, five revelations. He builds on one revelation, and it continues to grow. It continues to expand. So, that's not an issue. We're supposed to learn how to, again, my prayer, go from glory to glory. But he didn't want us to go from this and that, trying to make something happen or try to find that there's a church that all they did is get in the word and try to find some, hear some new thing. See, now I didn't say one time that they walked in that. It just said they tried to find it, to discover it, so that they can say in pride that this one was wrong and that this one is right and you need to go over here with this one. See, that's not what we want to do. The topic that I want to talk about is the transfer of grace. Okay? Praise gets us into the place where the things that we're looking for will find us. I said we're hurt, you know, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that the blessings are supposed to come upon us and they're supposed to overtake us. Uh-huh. See, so then as that is a truth, then we've got to position ourselves in the place where the grace is looking. Okay, let's try it that way, y'all. You know, here we are. We keep trying to do God's work, and God can take care of his own business. Okay? So here we are looking for grace, and grace was all the time looking for you. Looks like to me that one of us, and it ain't going to be God, he's the same yesterday, day, and forever, should change. We should find, y'all might need to write this down, let's do it right quick. We need to find where we are and then allow the growth that he called us to happen. Find where we are, then allow the growth to take us to the place he's called us to. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He that begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. What we need to do is, again, find out where we are in him. I didn't say where you are in your status. I said where you are in him. Because in him you'll find keys. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I'm not where I'm supposed to be, can I receive the strength? Probably not. Has nothing to do with my salvation. It has to do with my willingness and obedience. According to the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says that we're supposed to, if we are, he asks a question, if we are willing and obedient, then we will eat the good of the land. If we're not willing, we won't eat the good of the land. Didn't say he would take us out of the land, did it? It just said our appetite will not be profitable. There are things in the land that we can eat and get no nutrition from them. Okay? Junk food, if you would. I just kind of looked at saw junk food, just saw a bag of chips. And so I said, okay, yeah, the land is full of junk food. Okay? The land is full of things that man has made that will, woo, Lord, that will fill up our time slots, that will fill up our pride and arrogancy. My Lord, this is not where I was planning to go, but here we are. See, there are things that are created by man that will take away the time that God requires of you. Come, he said, the Bible tells, early in the morning will I seek you. Okay? And so then we'll stay up late at night. He says, it's not good to do that. They say, it's just not profitable. It is useless for you to stay up all night to eat the bed of sorrow. Let's just flip over there. Psalms 127. Say, why are you doing these things? He's asking questions. All throughout the Word of God, God is asking questions that need a response. Okay? They don't have to be displayed, if you will, but they have to, there is a response that is needed, that is necessary. See? And sometimes as we go through, because we've been busy doing this, that, and the other, we didn't even hear the question. Okay? So then what that would say, if you are doing things that are really not profitable for you, if you're eating the junk food, okay, I am not putting down a ministry to elevate another ministry. I'm talking about your diet. Okay, let's do it this way. The ministries are simply an offering that God ordained. Your diet is by your choice. So junk food is not trying to blame this ministry or that one or exalt this ministry or that one. It's a question of what is your diet? Let's read it. Psalms 127. He said, Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. They, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Okay, just a couple of things to look at here. Is the house going to get built? Whatever this house is, it's going to get built, but you're going to be building it in vain. Is that what he just said? Because he said, except the Lord build the house. All right? So then you can see right there that there are things that are made by man, things that have been put in front of you to distract you. It's not the house God is building. It's the house your appetite has settled on. I appreciate you coming and listening to the Word of God as we share it. I appreciate that. But this should not be the only place that you get your substance. Okay? I appreciate it. I come to make sure that I put myself in a position to be used of God. Okay? But if this is the only thing that you use for your diet, we're going to be in trouble. Notice he said if you're willing and obedient. That's a duality, isn't it? It's not just one thing. I'm willing. How many times have we said that in our lives? Oh, Lord, I'll do what you say. God tell you to do something, it ain't done yet. Why? Because you weren't truly willing. You were willing to say, but you weren't willing to do. And the book of James teaches us that if you hear the word and don't do the word, you simply deceive yourself. I mean, the devil ain't got the message, you know, Mo. You're a self-checker. You deceive yourself. If you want to get to the good of the land, and I guess we'll go over there and see that in Isaiah in just a minute. It says, except the Lord is the one building, the one that's working is working in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, you can watch all you want to, it's going to be in vain. They are awoke for no good reason. We need to understand that. Rehearse these things over and over. Ask the questions. Am I building this or is God building this? And as God is building this, then do I need to watch and mandate that this and that goes according to a schedule? God is decent and in order. Got no problem with that. But just because you want it today does not mean that that was the order that God was executing. See, because if everything went according to the way you planned it, let's try this out. Put this on. Anything that happened bad in your life, was it because God planned it or was it because you did it? It was because you did it, because all of his thoughts, Jeremiah 29:11, all of his thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you, to bring you to a desired end. So then his thoughts are not to make you frustrated then, are they? His thoughts are to bring you to an expected end, to give you an expected end. So if you're still, just as a point of reference, if you're still in the same place year after year, are these the thoughts that God thinks towards you? His thoughts are thoughts, wow, thoughts of peace. Whew. He did not say peaceful thoughts there, did he? He said thoughts of peace. That has the connotation that the peace is a part of development, not a place where you just sit and still and do nothing. His thoughts are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you, to give you. Keep your finger here. Let's look at that. Let's just see these things. okay? Keep Psalms 27 right here. We're going to come right back to it. But I see, the Word of God has to be line upon line, precept upon precept. So then we got to get to the place where we understand he's not saying anything to us detached from what he wants to do. This is a ongoing continuation process. And sometimes the way we have learned and been trained in, it looks like it was we're supposed to be the ones that be silent before the Lord. Okay? God, you know, according to what we understand about God, when we first were introduced to God, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. So he was active. Is that correct? And if we were made in his image, then would it be out of the realm of his thoughts for us to also be active doing what he wants to do? Okay? But some people have been, quote, close quotes, in the way for years, not doing anything that's beneficial to the kingdom or themselves. But we have chosen rather to just be comfortable. And it's interesting that God said he would send the comfort. How about that, y'all? When we get to a place that we sit down, that does not mean that's the place of God's rest. Because he would send the comforter. And then we're going to find out what the comforter does as we dig into this. See? I'm just trying to get some preliminary legwork out of the way here. Because it has happened to us that we become stagnant. Mm-hmm. Well, let me try this one. Do you know that something that was supposed to be moving and become stagnant usually stinks? Usually produces things that are unusable, bacteria that just lays on top of the water. Come on. You see a pond that is stagnant. A river is moving. A river has flow. But there are small bodies of water that are just stagnant. The water, okay, wow, look at this. The water did have a use and a purpose that was beneficial to us, but we let that pass us by as we stayed stagnant. Just some things to think about. Say. I can understand, you know, the whole way we do this. I don't really see retirement in the way that we've been taught it. I don't see that in the Bible, because you can see it over and over and over again. At the end of assignment, the glory was released. People were then taken away. I have finished my course. I've run my course. And I finished the thing that was before me. He said, so now, so when? Now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. After he ran his race, finished his course, then he didn't just sit down and fold his hands. Just some things to think about. I have no problem with retirement. I understand that. But in the kingdom, we're not supposed to retire. We would do better to refire than retire. Go and say, I finished that, Lord. Now what next? There's always a next in God. Until you hear, well done, enter into the joy of the Lord. Did he say enter into retirement? Come on, y'all. I'm not trying to wrestle over words here. All right? I understand how we were trained. See? But until I hear the good, well done, good and faithful servant, retirement should not be what's happening in the spirit. You can be less active. I don't have a problem with that. But I should never be less active in the spirit, because he wants us to go into all the world. Teach not some men, all men. Make disciples of all men. So that while you're in the place where people gather, come on, you have a captive audience. Retirees. You know, I hear stories and understand the accounts of how people used to like gather at the barber shop. You'd see men at the barber shop or at the pool halls, and you know, they've already done the things that were required in this life, but now they're retired and they didn't hear the possibilities and instructions to go ahead and say, wow, I can now speak to a captive audience. Every week, these men are going to be at the barbershop. And what they were doing, shooting the breeze. Okay? Exchanging fish stories. Okay? And again, I'm not mad about it, but that's a captive audience. Maybe we should say, okay, God, show me how to become bold as I needed to be all my life. I've got these people here, this opportunity here, and they're captive. It's evident they don't have much to talk about, because this is the same stuff they said 5 years ago. You'll find people in places like that simply gathering to complain about this or that when they've been given the power to change this or that. See? Just a selah there. Okay? Because again, we're the ones that get to see God do things in a mighty way. See? Let's participate in that. Did he not say that if you wait on a minister to the Lord, you're going to elevate, mount up? That which is lifted up is easily seen. Is that correct? Just, again, just some selah. You know, just as you meditate day and night upon him, you say, okay, Lord, so what now? It was instructed that the older men should teach the younger. Flat out, that's a scripture. So then here I have opportunities that I wouldn't have had before. My calling just got elevated. I'm supposed to teach the younger. And from what I can see in society today, the younger need a whole lot of teaching. We have generation that has been raised now, and they don't have a father in their life. And so God now gives you an opportunity to be like Paul. I have many sons in the faith. I thought you retired there, Paul. No. I went to do what God said should be done in the earth. Now I'm saying, I am willing. Let's get through this so you can see it. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts, wow, Lord, that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says, I know the thoughts. Notice he didn't say, I know yesterday's thoughts and only yesterday's thoughts. I know the thoughts that your ancestors brought you over with. You know, I don't have a challenge with recalling the events that have happened. But the events that have happened should project me. That's why it's supposed to be a transfer of grace. See? It's not a hoarding of grace. I was thinking about this earlier, and it was just like we're supposed to be reservoirs. Reservoirs of grace. And reservoirs were meant to be emptied. See? We're not supposed to be vessels that just collect and then look pretty. We're supposed to be vessels that flow, reservoirs of His grace that allows the grace to flow through us. It's not stopped by us because we're tired, whatever that is. But we're supposed to be a free-flowing funnel. Let's do it that way. The vessel that collected the flow of the Spirit of God should allow the Spirit of God to continue until it produces, wow, Lord, until it produces sons, those of like precious faith. Woo, I hope y'all saw that. See, a funnel gets smaller and smaller, which means that what comes out of the end of the funnel is that which is useful. See? I can remember men in my life that took time to cause me to go through the funnel properly. We were collected because my friend went to this place and he became a Boy Scout. So then the funnel at the top had a bunch of friends. But at the end, the funnel is going to produce sons, singular. And how do you say sons, singular? Because they are produced one at a time. Jesus is now referred to as the firstborn of from the dead. If there's a firstborn, that tells me there has to be the numbering system says there has to be a second born and a 15th born and a 1,000,000th born, because we were collected in the funnel, and as we come out, we are all the same. We're all sons of God. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. And all of these thoughts give you or bring you to an expected end. See? So then if that's not how I'm thinking the Word of God is coming to me for, then really I gotta go back and start over here. Because the thoughts should not leave me where I was. See? We build our houses a different way. Back to Psalms 127. Where he said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He says, it is vain, useless, empty, for you to rise up early, for you to sit up late. And the reason that you do this is because you're eating the bread of sorrows. So, okay, let's look at it. So he says this process, the only thing that you're going to get out of that diet is what? Sorrows. You worried about this. You're trying to make this happen. So you rise early. You stay up late. But at the end of the day, all you ate is the bread of sorrows. Why didn't? Why won't? Why me? Why now? You will even ask, what should I do? And really, what should you do is only half of the question. What could I do is only half of the question. What should I do is the other half of the question. For this cause was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is what I should do, not what could I do. We put the onus back on God for giving us the information that's necessary. Well, I asked him. Yeah, but you were basically asking because you are in front of the bread of sorrows. It's vain for you to do this. It's here. To stay up all night, worried and frustrated. Get up early in the morning trying to get something done, but you don't have information. You don't have information with inspiration. because I say all the time, information without inspiration leads to desperation, perspiration, and frustration. But inspired information always takes you to destination. Okay? Information with inspiration and revelation takes you to destination. Okay? But without revelation and inspiration, it's desperation, frustration, perspiration. God did not call you to work harder. Okay? He called you and equipped you with a GPS system that would cause you to go bypassing all of the trials and tribulations, all of the potholes. God's positioning system. But we are out of position and out of favor. So all that's left when the favor or the power of God to get it done, when that's waned, all that's left is frustration, perspiration, desperation. It's vain for you to do that. Because God, look at this. God says he does what? He gives his beloved sleep. The ability to do what he did in the middle of a trial. The boat was being tossed to and fro. Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillar. And the disciples said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? He said, peace. Be still. And immediately, the storm that was great, there was a great calm, the Bible says. God's not frustrated about this stuff. Why should you be? Well, because I thought about it all night. I've been up all night thinking about this. And since I ain't seen nothing that's going to be look like a victory, well, what were you eating? I was eating the bread of sorrows. So I don't know. You help me out. If you eat the bread of sorrows, you expect to have a life full of what? Sorrows. That's what's been consumed by you. Well, it just looks so bad at all the stuff that's happening. Well, you're eating the bread of sorrows. Yeah, I'm gonna just kind of stay in this for a minute. Okay. So if that's the place that we've been positioned to live in, let's go ahead and look at Isaiah chapter 1 so that you can see it. See? He asks us questions. And he says, verse 18 and 19, come now. Come here, y'all. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let us reason together. He didn't say, let me tell you all your mistakes. He says, I'm going to invite you into a place where we can reason together. That tells me, just that scripture tells me that God expects me to use my reasoning. He just wants me to do it the right way. Start with him at the center. As I start with him at the center, then all of my negativity should be gone. It should not be close to me. Because if God is in the center, then I am experiencing what? Fullness of joy from his presence. So then that would take away blame game. No, because I'm in his presence where fullness of joy is. See? We're going to reason together. That means he's going to talk to me, not blame me. shame me. He's going to give me more and more. He's going to increase me. But if I'm thinking that the only thing going to happen is he going to make me feel bad because he's going to tell me what I didn't do. No, that's not God. Now, you can think of it that way, but that's not how he functions. Romans 8 tells us that. There is therefore now no condemnation. How much? None. So then if I'm condemning myself, it was not because God is doing it. If my circumstances look bleak, it's not because God is doing it. That's not a thought that he has. All of his thoughts are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to cause me to be able to move. If you're feeling like there is no way to turn, then you have not processed God's thoughts. If you feel trapped, you have not processed God's thoughts, because all of his thoughts are thoughts of peace, not of evil. And these thoughts cause you to be able to move, to give you an expected end. Okay? How do you read? Okay? Come, let us reason together. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I want you to get that. God says, come, let us talk together. He is going to deal with the thing you bring. He said, okay, and you're going to bring all your sin, okay? Though your sins be. See? He's going to deal with them. He's going to show you, this is how, according to Scripture, this is how God deals with it. He says, though they be, they shall be. God spends more time talking about what you shall be than what you was. He wants you to be able to move. In him we live, in him we move. He's going to take us from this to that, from here to there. See, he's trying to get a transfer of the grace. See? He's trying to get a transfer of the grace. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So he's dealing with your issue right there. Because you don't feel like you deserve it, or you don't think you did the right things. He says, okay, let me show you. That's not the way I'm looking at you. Though you did that, messed it up, if you confess your sins, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all sin. Notice when God, come on now, let's just see. Look at, though they be red as crimson, though they be scarlet. I mean, he's trying to get us an understanding of a depth of what you think is wrong. Scarlet is not a light red, is it? Scarlet is not pink, is it? Scarlet is a deep red. He said, though they be red like crimson, he said, notice these things. He used the word shall after you were dealing with him and he was dealing with you, reasoning about your sins. He said, now they shall be. He didn't say they might be, did he? They shall. This is the word shall is an absolute imperative. Okay? They shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be. See? All right, we'll do this. He said they shall be like wool. In other words, he's going to take away that uncomfortable feeling that you have, and he's going to make you comfortable in his righteousness, comfortable in his forgiveness, comfortable in his grace. when you when you want comfort, wool will bring that comfort. It will bring the ability for you to be warm. It will bring the ability for you to be able to rest in there. Yeah. He's wanting to give you a transfer of grace. Then he says, now, after you understand, they shall be. He says, now, if you become willing and obedient, you'll change your diet. You no longer have to be eating the bread of sorrows. You won't even have to be at the table where the bread of sorrow is prepared. But you're going to have to do what? Be willing and obedient. He's going to meet you in that place where darkness is. And he's going to bring light. You know, today I was kind of thinking about this, and I didn't see the picture fully before. In Deuteronomy 29:19, when he says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. All right. I looked at that as one mirror with two positions of sight or two positions of thought. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Whichever one or whichever way you look at the situation, both life and death is present at the same time. It wasn't like I would bring to you the ability to choose this week good, choose next week evil. He said, I bring both of them before you at the same time. How you look at it, how you view it, will cause you to enter into the thing that you view. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So at the same time, wow, at the same time your biggest failure is present, God says, heaven and earth is seeing that there is also life set before you at the same time. 1 Corinthians 13:10-13 says that there is no temptation that is taking you, but such as is common to man. And God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, that you may be able to bear. So at the same time, all of the ugly is over here, all of the good, which overcomes all of the ugly, every time, all the time, is there at the same time. It would behoove us to find out what the good is that overcomes the evil. My choice. Okay, according to that scripture. See, I just get these things. I need for you to see them. Come on, turn over there. We're just doing a walk through the Bible so we can get established in this. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 29. This is after he had told them about what it said in Deuteronomy 28. He's repeating itself with clarity. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. He said, but if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord, then you'll be cursed, and everything you try to do, nothing will work. Then he gets through saying that through 68 in Deuteronomy 28. Then he says, he goes over to chapter 30 and 19, giving all of this, he's just clarifying what he has said, clarifying the promise that he's making unto him. That he said, I'm going to make you a holy people. I'm going to do this. He didn't say you were going to do it. He said, I'm going to do this. Then he said, I want you to hear what I said. Now I'm gonna ask questions. I'm going to make statements that cause you to enter into or walk away from the thing that I put before you. 19 says this. All right, let's back up. All right, let's back up. That's good. I forgot that was in there, sir. Huh. Wow. All right. We hear the bad and magnify the bad and throw the good in the dumpster. I don't know why we do that. Because then we don't have a clear understanding of the God that we serve and what he wants to do. Look at this. Back up to verse 30, verse 1. I'm going to get to 19. But again, this is after you, if you read it, you'll find out these are the things God is presenting to you as choices. And the choices that he gives you will take you in the direction where you can either endure pain, suffering, and hardship, or you can enjoy God. One of the two. Okay? It shall come to pass, verse 1, when all these things that are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, whichever one you choose, this is how you answer your questions. If everything is going crazy, maybe you didn't choose the blessing. You didn't choose God because God is the blessing. You chose a figment of God, if you would. You chose the best understanding that you had of God. But see, God wants to reveal himself to you. And if you chose the bad, then God can't show you the good because you chose the bad. It is as easy, again, 1 John 1:9 was not written just to the people in the New Testament. He was giving you an option right here in Deuteronomy 30. If who choose? If you choose. All right. The curse and the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, you shall call them to mind. He said, I need you to remember this. I need you to remember this. This is not my ugly. This is your choice. I'm a good God, but I'm going to give you parameters that you make choices that will show you how good I am or how far away you are from me. Thou shalt call them to mind wherever you is, among all the nations where the Lord hath driven thee. Thou shalt return unto the Lord, and thou shalt obey his voice according to all the commandments that this day. And thou and thy children, God is generational. He wants this thing to be sustainable. He's not asking you to play with the decision and then let your children play with the decision. He said, make the decision. Okay, I mean, just what is there? Then the Lord thy God will return thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. And he will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord has scattered thee. And if any of thine be driven out to the uttermost parts of heaven, from this will the Lord thy God gather thee. It don't matter how far he is, y'all. He said he's able to save to the uttermost. You stand up all night praying about your children? He said you can stop that. Wherever they go, under the heaven, I got them. I will gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Verse 5. And the Lord thy God shall do what? Bring you into the land which thy fathers possessed. Stuff they used to, come on, y'all, that's very good. All of that things that are familiar, watch what he's going to do with that. Shall bring you to the land that thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And God, he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. You're going to go back to the place of familiar. And he says if you would listen to God, follow God, then he's going to cause you to be he's going to do you good and multiply you above what they did. I mean, here we are. We kind of think, I want my children to do better, to have better opportunity than I did. Well, if you want that to happen, then he says all you got to do is go back to the land, go back to God, so that God can do what he wants to do. And when you do that, then you will possess the place, the places where your fathers stopped. Come on now. He wants to take you to the place where you're further than the place your father stopped. He wants to multiply you while he's doing you good. Okay, come on, just help me understand this. He said, and the Lord will bring you to the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And God will do you good and multiply thee above thy fathers. So God is going to say, come here. Listen. Listen more than your fathers did. That's not a condemnation. That's an invitation. Did you see that? Okay. He's not saying, above all your bad, no good. He said, I'll take you further. I'll let you possess the land first. Oh, y'all, please. He said, I'll let you possess the land first. You can call that life yours, but then watch what God does with it. According to what he wants to do, he wants to do you good in the land, in the same situations, state of being. He says, and in that place, he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, and they're going to learn this. They're going to learn to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Okay. He says that this is going to get deep on the inside of you, because you're going to go to the land that your fathers possessed, but it's not going to be the land of your fathers anymore. It's going to be the land that the Lord your God, the Lord thy God. He didn't say the Lord my daddy's God. That was a good place to start, but he's not trying to leave you there. He wants it to be the Lord my God. When it becomes personal, whoo, Father, when it becomes personal, it becomes possible. You might want to write that one down. If it becomes personal, it becomes possible. When you first see it, it seems impossible to you. But when it becomes personal, now it becomes possible. If it's somebody else's promise, it's not going to be possible for you. Because as your faith, so be it unto you. When it becomes personal, it becomes possible. Come on, I hope you wrote that down. That was just powerful. That was fresh from the altar. Because a lot of times we go through things and we say, this is how my so-and-so did it. No, that's not personal to you yet. And that's why you still walk around with questions and not answers. Because when it becomes personal, it becomes possible. That's how you can do the impossible, because it became personal. Because you and God, thank you, my Father, you and God are in there together. And God has a track record of whatever and zero. He's never lost. He's never failed. See? So now that's the way you think, because it's the Lord my God, the Lord thy God, he said. See? If it's not personal, it's not possible. Didn't say you didn't hear it. Would you say that there are promises that you haven't walked in? And I would submit to you that those promises that you know about, that you heard about, that you read, they have not yet become personal. So then they will not be possible. See, this is an intimate relationship, a personal relationship. And if the promise is not your promise, if it's not personal, it's not possible. Because this is how you know it's personal. Listen to what it says. Because then you'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. And when you do that, he says, then you will live. If you're willing and obedient, you'll have a different diet. And that diet that you have that's now new will supply the needs of your life. Because you're willing and obedient. You change your diet. You begin to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Why? So that you can observe to do. You will see how to do that which was impossible. Because now when you observe day and night and love with all your heart, now it's personal. It's now possible. And now watch what happens. He's going to flip the script, God. And the Lord, your God, will put curses on your enemies and on them that hate you and them that persecuted you. God will take care of all the riffraff. Well, one of the reasons that would happen is because he wants you to love the Lord your God with all. So if I'm upset at somebody, how can I love the Lord with all? So God will respond to you loving him with all, you casting all your care on him. Then he said, now I'll take care of this piece of cake. I got you. You're now going to be the spout where the glory comes out. I got you. As soon as I got you, now, those people that hated you, I got that. I'm going to take care of that for you. Those people that talk about you, watch what happens. Because I got you now. Because now it's a personal relationship. It's not just a provisional relationship. It's a personal relationship. God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Provision was there. But now because it's personal, it becomes possible. And then because you have a mind that stayed on him, you're now in peace. It says that now you'll do all of his commandments. You'll be able to forgive now, see? Because you've chosen life. This word is personal to you. You don't want to do things that would be an offense to God. I don't have to stand and curse and display anger because the wrath of man does not employ the righteousness of God. I can just be the one having done all to stand there for. I'll get dressed correctly. I'll have on the whole armor of God. And I'll make sure that every step that I step is a step of peace. I've got my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Sometimes you look at the order when God says it. If my feet are not right, then my heart shows the evidence by speaking things of hurt, harm, or danger. My feet won't walk in the land if my heart is messed up. If I've been taking the wrong diet, my feet will not walk in the land of promise. It might walk in the land of demand. Because the reason I'm standing and operating in the land of demand is because the promises are not personal. They're not mine yet. So I'm still living on the God of whoever showed me this testimony. The word of God becomes the word that he gave me. Not just the word of God collectively. It's mine, and I protect it. How do I protect it? I don't lock it up. I protect it by allowing it to work on me, to get deeper in me. Did not David say, thy word have I hid in my heart? So then I won't sin against thee. I'm protecting the word by letting it live in me. Come on, y'all. Jesus said, if you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be given you. You protected my word. Getting me to move is easy because you know now the key is the personal relationship.
And if it's not personal, it's just not possible. And then the Lord thy God will make thee. Look at this. See, just, I'm just reading. When I give him my whole heart, when I decide that I'm going to eat the right thing from his word, I'm going to make it personal to me. He says, then the Lord thy God will make you plenteous. It didn't say, and then you shall make you. He said, the Lord will do this. He said, he'll make you plenteous in every, glory to God, in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land. All of these things are saying because they were an agricultural society, and so everything that was agricultural and had fruit and produce to it, that's what was used for their system of exchange. Okay, okay, let's look at it again. Their system of exchange. Our system of exchange is money. Is that correct? It says, I will bless thee and make thee plenteous in every work of your hand, so that the fruit of your body, the fruit that you touch it, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land will be good. And then it says, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good. It says God is going to take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Okay? He's going to rejoice over you. Didn't sound to me like that's a stingy father. What? You want something else? It's going to be more like, oh, please come, my son, my faithful servant. What can I do for you? You enter into the place where Solomon's prayer becomes yours. Lord, give me wisdom so I can rule this people. Because you didn't ask me for silver and gold, because you didn't ask me for the neck of your enemies, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you more gold. There was not anybody that's ever been. Bill Gates has not come close. Elon Musk has not come close to the wealth that Solomon had. He was so wealthy. Money was so fluent because of the overflowing promise of God that the Bible says that they didn't even bother to take inventory of silver, which is our second highest monetary value. They didn't even count it. The Bible says it was kept outside the city gate. Let's do it so you can hear it in English. It was located in the dump. They didn't, it was not accounted for anything. You just making that up. You know, that man with that bitch. Okay, well, let's see. Let's look at it then. So as you can see it, I think it's going to be, we got 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Let's just find some of these things that he said. This is when he was collecting the gold for the house of the Lord, and he told them to bring the willing heart to bring things to the Lord. All right, I just want to show this to you because it blew me away. Oh, okay. Let me make sure I got it. This one. This is when Solomon was collecting it. I think it's going to be 2 Chronicles 9. Yeah. 2 Chronicles 9. Yep. Okay, yeah, there it is. That's it. 2 Chronicles 9. He was collecting all of the things. And let's see. It says in verse 20, and all of the drinking vessels of the king Solomon were gold, and the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Please read the next part. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted in the days of Solomon. Said they didn't even bother to count it. So much money, if you would. He didn't even bother to count it. It was accounted for what? Nothing. When you get to the place where you listen to God and do what he said, he'll take you to a whole nother level. Things you haven't even seen. All right, keep reading again. And verse 27, and the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones and cedar trees he made as sycamore trees. It said that he made the silver was like stuff you walk on, stones, not stuff you take in account for. You walk on it. Is that not where stones go? Like on the ground? Yeah. And this was not one, just so I can see it. Back to verse 20. He said silver was not counted in the days, with an S. This was not a one-time occurrence. This was like normal then, wasn't it? Wasn't even valuable. Silver. See, when we begin to flow in the things that God has said, when we begin to go outside of the box and say, you know what, I'm just going to trust him with all, so that he can bring my heart to the position of that which is now personal can be possible. See? If I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, it became personal. No, I don't have to defend by cutting other people down and saying bad things about the way they've understood God. What I should do is help them to see that there is a more excellent way. When I say there's a more excellent way, I didn't say your way was wrong, did I? I just said there's a more excellent way. If you go down line number one, and line number one is only going to give you one scoop of whatever's on that line, and then line number two is going to make sure your plate is overflowing, I say, well, you have a more excellent way over here in line number two. I didn't tell you to go there, did I? I just said there is a more excellent way. You still have the power of choice. You still have the power of choice without condemnation. We try to defend what did not need defending. See? I am not the exclusive holder of truth. See? I'm just going to show you that, okay, wait a minute. We've been doing it like this, but there is a more excellent way. You've been living off of the drips of life, and God wants you to have out of your bellies flowing rivers with an S. You've been collecting, if you would, the blessing that's in front of you and making sure nobody was able to get to it. I had a vision, the first vision that I had, and it was a vision of a experience that happens when a person is exercising. Because when a person is exercising, their body is going to produce sweat. And so then the person was running, and sweat was coming off of his hair. And people that were behind him as the wind was blowing could get those droplets. This was a deity that was showing me. This is not just a man, so that, you know, you You don't want nobody to sweat. Got that. This was a deity that as the drops of sweat represented blessings. And so people on the that were behind them as the wind was blowing, they had learned not to hoard blessings. They were, as the blessing came toward them, they would look and say, that is not an answer to my prayer. They got out of the way and said, this must be for you. And that person said, yes, I've been looking for that. And now that blessing went to that person. And the process continued, and everybody was satisfied that was around the deity. And then there was another one where people were hoarding the blessing, if you would, and whoever was at the front of the line did not care about who was behind them, and they just kept running into the drops of those grace droplets. They just kept running into them and getting them. Notice that the blessing did not stop coming. It's just that the people were greedy rather than being a blessing because they were blessed. See? And that's basically what we've done. We've tried to make it, well, God ain't got no more blessing. This is it. I got to get mine now. No, I get out of the way to allow the body to grow. See? And that's the first part of the vision was that the body was operating as one. Glory to God. The body was operating as one. If they were anybody that had lack, they that had many, they would just let them pass, and that the people would have no lack. See? Because the blessing never stopped. There was a constant flow, if you would. So it wasn't like I had to get mine and y'all just do what you can. No, it was on purpose. Even though it was in the midst of a setting that looked like it was random. No, it was on purpose. When it left the deity, it was aimed and directed for this one. And the people would recognize, that's not what's in my heart. That's not my prayer request. I need to move. And then I would look around and find who that was for, what that blessing was for. See? We were increasing by that which every joint supply. See, I mean, we got to get past the place where we become hoarders of the blessing. So, you know, that's just what came out of the study for today. See, let's grow up and stop being those that are trying to stop the flow because we don't know. Let's make our life a life of sacrifice and offering. Not because it was hard for us to do, but because God requires us to change our diet from being greedy, thinking that nothing else is going to happen, to being ones that understand that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, the transfer of grace. The praise that's an offering to God gives us this ability to make sure that everyone around me gets what happened when Peter was walking down the street. Everybody surrounding him that had need of healing got healed just because he walked down the street. Your way or God's way? God is waiting on you so that he can freely release a blessing, my God, so that he can freely release a blessing and the glory that is so big the whole world can't contain it. It says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will happen so much that it'll be as equal to the waters that cover the sea. Let's allow God to do the good that he wants to do, to rejoice over us, to do good, to to cause us to possess the places that our fathers stopped so that we can move the agenda of God along. Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. And we praise you that you've given clarity to our position and to our understanding so that we can allow the rivers of grace to be released, that grace would flood the earth. Oh, Father, let us be used affirmatively in that process so that you will be the one that says to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the rest of the Lord. We ask it and receive it as being done right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Well, as I stated in the beginning, now we'll open up the mic if there are any questions or comments that you had about the ministry. You can do that now. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Area code 678-469-7930. Any questions or comments?
Oh, it was a great lesson.
Amen.
It's always
Amen.
A great lesson. Courtesy of Father God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for being yielded.
I loved it. Go ahead. Say again.
Thank you for being yielded. I said thank you for being yielded.
Amen. Amen. It's my pleasure and honor because I hear stuff same time y'all hear. And it's good to me. I'm over here shouting on the inside because, you know, these principles work. If I'm just willing and obedient, I'll change my diet. Amen. Thank you for being part of the ministry today. And we'll get area code 404-490-7875. Area code 404-490-7875. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
I agree with what he just said. We have to learn to love the Lord and listen to the Lord and follow the Lord more and more each and every day. If we get out the way, he will be in our way. He will guide us of the way we're supposed to go. So we try to do too much our way instead of letting him do it his way, and that's where our trouble comes in.
Yeah, it always does. That's not being willing or obedient, is it?
Yes, it is.
I said, no, I said, if I'm doing it my way, that's not being willing or obedient, is it?
No, it's not.
Yep, and that's where we find the problems, right there. Yep. And so next week, next week, which will be the last Monday of the year, we'll get into some of the points that you just brought up. If we get out the way, that he can have his way kind of a thing, because we're looking for the transfer of grace. So until the next time when we can gather together and allow his grace to cover us, and more, I'll pray that the Lord bless and keep you, that the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time.
Amen.